Hi, Mark Snedeker.
Hello, Christina LaRusso.
So we are taking a little break this week, everyone, and we are re-promoting episode 60, and it is about online trolls. This is a pretty interesting episode. Mark himself does some trolling online.
I do a little bit of trolling.
I also do a little bit of trolling, but my trolling is a little bit more...
Passive-aggressive?
Well, it's been said. But no, actually, my trolling is I tend to try and keep my trolling funny.
Well, so do I, but mine's a little sauvage, as they say. Yes.
And mine has become increasingly sauvage.
Yeah. Mine might make you cry.
Yeah, mine I don't think will ever make anyone cry. It just
might make them grind their teeth.
They might just kind of go, God, she's passive aggressive, and how do I win when she's a sponge?
I know, she's unassailable.
It's really tough to beat me in an online argument, everyone, but I welcome you to come and try.
Bring it.
So this episode really does dig into serious trolls, the trolls who...
Do nothing else, really.
Do nothing else but make their lives about trolling. I only troll the people that I feel really deserve it.
See, that's always been my philosophy.
It's very subjective.
Well, for me, it's all about justice. I'm the Batman of the internet.
Yes, of course you are. Of course you have an inflated impression of your role as a vigilante online. Anyway, we hope you all enjoy this episode. There's some funny bits in this about especially this irreverent initial early online troll who trolled people in a cat lovers group.
I like that one. That is a good one.
He's there for the lulls. So hopefully you will be here for the lulls and you will join us next week when we explore 80s fads. But in the meantime, please enjoy episode 60 about online trolls.
Bon appetit.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Gen Extemporaneous. This is a podcast where I come up with an idea, I do some research, I grab a bottle of wine, I bring everything to Mark, and he pontificates. Today's episode is going to be a continuation of our episode about puppetry, but this time we're bringing it right into the 21st century. We are going to be talking about puppets online, specifically sock puppets, and everything you can do with them, which includes becoming a troll. We thank you very much for coming and listening to us each week. We invite you to join us on all of our social media. Hello, Mark Snedeker.
Hello, Lieutenant Uhura.
Oh my God, it's a lot.
Christina has this new badass soundboard that she splurged on, and it looks, seriously, it's super Star Trek looking. Usually we would do the introduction, and she would then have to, you know, in post-production, have to go back in and cut in the music. But now she has like, it's one of those like DJ buttony things.
Yeah.
She just hits a button and Good Morning Austin starts playing. Unfortunately, it puts a lot of pressure on her because if she messes up in the middle of her intro, we have to start over. So this is take three, I think.
And as everyone knows, this is extemporaneous. I mean, Gen Extemporaneous, but we do have an extemporaneous component to it. And that means we don't work off of, you know, detailed scripts or anything.
Right.
I am the one who writes down some notes. But generally for the introduction,
for me, you're lucky if
I
put on headphones.
I know. No. He's being forced to put on headphones now, everyone.
So, yeah, we did redo the studio.
Yeah.
So I did one of my favorite activities of all time, which is putting together motherfucking furniture. I just made Christina leave because I always get very angry and I swear at anybody around me. So Mozart got an earful while I was
also
doing
the
this.
Desk, I think, was told to fuck his mother.
Oh, yeah. No, I said, fuck you, fuck your mother, and fuck your uncle. To the desk, to an actual inanimate object. So that shows you where my head was at.
It's everything.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark.
Christina.
If you had a choice.
Oh, do I though? I rarely seem to, but okay.
Okay, Mark, you have to choose one of these tasks. I put this up on Twitter, but.
Yeah, I understand the assignment.
Okay. One, to kill a bug.
It's a terrible novel, by the way.
Two.
It's the worst novel.
Yeah, it just doesn't. It's a very.
It just
disaster.
Didn't. I mean, it just didn't. It just didn't have the vibe.
You can kill a bug.
Mm-hmm.
You can help someone kill a bug.
Scientist, I believe.
An experimenter.
Yeah, what we call those scientists.
And those bugs are called they're pill bugs, and their names are like
Oh, like a roly-polies?
Fluffy. Yeah, roly-polies.
I don't care what you call your bug.
Okay? Fluffy or Vivian.
Guess
and
what? They're
Edward.
Not fluffy.
Okay, right,
fine.
So that's
you can call them whatever
that's
you want.
Their names.
Is there a Karen?
I didn't have...
there a Karen roly-poly?
No.
I would murder that one first.
All right.
Apologies to all actual Karens.
Okay. No. So you can kill a bug, you can help an experiment or kill a bug, you can clean dirty toilets, or you can be submersed in an ice bath. You have to choose one of those options.
Well,
what was your choice?
I'm super going to kill a bug in a lab setting with a scientist. So that way I'm not personally doing the murder.
You're just handing him the bug while he
and maybe
or
holding it down so he can punch it or something.
No,
I don't
know. Have to put it into a grinder.
It's a bug.
It's a roly-poly named Fluffy.
I don't care what you call it.
Man, all right. So anyway,
I chose killing the bug through a third party.
I chose cleaning dirty toilets.
Right.
I would.
Speaking
of
which, help yourself. It's right in there.
I will not. I will. That was a.
Then you have to go kill a bug.
That was it was a hypothetical.
Right. Hey, do you have the courage of your convictions or not?
I do actually.
If you told me,
honestly,
by the way, Mark, since you chose that, waiting in the next room is Dr. Schrenkman, and he would like you to go in there and help him murder about 1,000 bugs. That'd be fine. I chose it. I will live with my choice.
All right. So I would be me and anybody who chose cleaning toilets, as well as anybody who chose submersion in an ice bath, would be immediately dismissed from the experiment.
Because
this is an experiment.
Wussies?
No, because this is an experiment that tests how sadistic you are.
Oh, well, moderately.
And then, right. So the people that would be more inclined to kill bugs or help people kill bugs would then go on to the next level where they would test you with more intense questions.
Like, would I then kill a kitten? That type of thing?
So, well, no. I don't know what the next set of sadistic
kill your neighbor
testing questions are. No, but so what they're trying to do is talk about how prevalent is sadism in society. And what they have found is that it is much more prevalent in society than you would think. We'll get into the details of this test that they did, but what it boils down to is once they completed this test and figured out, there seems to be more people that enjoy seeing other people get hurt, they said, well, how does this play out in everyday life? And they started to look at online, and they specifically started to look at trolling.
Right. So that would mean that I would be willing to participate in an experiment where I watched somebody troll?
No.
But I wouldn't be willing to troll them directly?
No, probably that you would get a little bit of pleasure out of the sort of Schadenfreude.
I like a nice troll lol.
You'd enjoy the lols that came
to a
from
certain
someone
extent,
trolling someone else. Doing a really good troll,
actually, you might
appreciate it.
Yeah, I find other people's trolling to be amateurish at best.
Oh.
So it's better if I do it.
Oh my God. I don't know. Be careful. I mean, the real trolls set up a hate page for you.
Yeah. Really affected my life.
Well, you don't know. It might be coming yet. I mean, I'd be looking over my shoulder if I were you.
Well.
So what I would like to do is, as I said in the introduction, we are going to be looking, it's a continuation of our subject that we had last week, which was on puppetry.
Yes.
Not last week, actually. We took a week off to prepare our studio.
It really took me a long time to put that desk together.
I know. The week before, we talked about the role of puppets as in our lives as Gen Xers, and that was H.R. Puff and Stuff and Slee Stacks and what puppets mean.
Punch and Judy, possibly not in our lifetime.
Not in our lifetime, but certainly
the
wild and wacky world of Sid and Marty Krofft.
Right.
Okay.
We love those guys with their shitty production values.
Which were considered, I mean, it still amazes me that they were considered to have such amazing production values.
Well, the thing is they were breaking new ground, right? I mean, nobody was doing anything like it. There was some science fiction before that.
Yeah.
But it was all, like, if you think about it, it's like Twilight Zone-y thing,
Twilight
right?
Zone. Well, which was terrifying, those faces of those pig faces.
Oh, yeah.
That was really scary. All right. Today, we're going to be talking about sock puppet accounts, but we're going to be talking about all kinds of different ways that you can kind of mask your identity and or not mask your identity online. So we're going to be talking about sock puppets in specific, but also as an offshoot of that, alt accounts and trolls. Okay, so Mark, why don't you give me a hot take on online sock puppets?
Okay, first of all, I would like to state that I do not employ these.
Mm-hmm.
I'm meh, coach. I don't want to be anyone else.
You don't? No? You don't know how mentally healthy that is.
I am the Jamie Tart of online. Hopefully not quite as dim-witted. But
certainly as arrogant.
Oh, so. Easily. In fact, Jamie might need to step up his arrogance game to keep up. So I've always been me. Because first of all, I don't troll people, you know, to make them cry or something, right? And I do try to look for deserving victims. Like someone who's being a douche, right? Mm-hmm. Someone who's being more arrogant than they are really qualified to be. Mm-hmm. And I am more than happy to skewer those people. But I want full credit for it when it happens, because I think I do a pretty good job of it. And I get some clever, you know, snark in there. Mm-hmm. I want 100% credit. So I do all my own work. And I claim it, right? And I don't have a nom de plume, right? There's no Richard Bachman trolling done by me. Mm-hmm. But in general, I find the use of sock puppets to a little cowardly, maybe necessary in some instances, but it allows the poster, that is one who posts, not a two-dimensional picture on the wall of Duran Duran, mm-hmm. To feel a little bit more emboldened, right? And to escape a lot of the social consequences of saying shitty things about people. And I think it gives them a little sense of courage, and that's where you get kind of the keyboard warrior syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, what a bold statement there, user 12756035 1, and with no profile picture. Way to go. But I think it does give people a bit more freedom to be shitty. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, there are some instances where it's a safety precaution, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're in a group where you really don't want your private business come back at you mm-hmm. and affect your real life.
Mm-hmm. Good. That was a very personal take on things. I'm going to come in with a little bit more of a formal definition.
Right, you're going to take the mile high view, you know, the top down executive summary,
that is correct.
Detached cold businesswoman look.
10,000 foot perspective.
Yes.
Okay, so sock puppetry, sock puppet, is a false identity used for the purpose of deception.
Right.
Okay, so early on, in the early days of the internet, sock puppets were created by people who themselves had their own identity.
Right.
So, for instance, you were a blogger and you wanted to gain engagement on your blog. So you would create a couple of sock puppets who would come in and start driving discussion on your blog. Or let's say you posted something.
Oh, so they're like faking engagement.
They're faking engagement. So it would seem like...
Should we do that?
No, I didn't even think to do that.
God damn it. We're just not devious enough.
I know. I just sat here
we're so
said,
dumb.
No, but
here we are like actually trying to get people to talk to us when I could have just been talking to us this whole time.
No, that would have been terrible. Okay, so early on it was really just... And I can remember joining early like online forums where they would say, you know, sock puppetry is not allowed, because you would go in and you might start a post in a forum with whatever topic you wanted to discuss. And then let's say you had another couple of accounts
going,
and
yeah, good point, Mark. This is not Mark.
Yeah, your sock puppet was called not Mark.
I'm Kark.
Kark. Mark with a C.
That's right.
So they would come in and they would drive conversations. They would drive engagement on their post or on their blog or whatever it is that they were doing. Okay. Now, this has been expanded to include, it is still that. Now, though, you really don't need, you can just hire, you can buy bots to come in and show engagement.
And by the way, I'd like to mention we didn't do that either.
No, I know.
God damn, we're fucking idiots.
I know. I told you, we don't know how to market this
really
podcast.
We really don't. Thank God for Amazon. By the way, for those of you who missed it, we were an Amazon featured podcast.
I've been checking
the mailbox. There have no giant checks have been arriving, but that was exciting.
We don't monetize this podcast, that's too bad. So, okay, now they've expanded it to include the uses of identities hired or encouraged by an organization to either praise, defend, or support that organization, and in so doing, manipulate public opinion.
Uh-huh.
So you see this a lot with political action groups, where they will have multiple sock puppets that go out and they're engaging and doing things to guide or influence the minds of the masses.
Right.
Okay, so offshoots of sock puppetry. There may be times where people create an alt account for whatever reason. So for instance, later in this episode, we're going to be discussing an interview that I did with a political troll.
Yes.
Who created an account simply because he was banned from Facebook.
Right.
It behooved him to maintain that sock puppet for various reasons.
Yes.
And then he sort of just identified with that
kept him from catching
alt.
A beating.
It wasn't. It was not. He didn't distance himself from that alt. He became
that. He inhabited
that,
the alt.
He inhabited that alt. So there are people who inhabit an alt, and that's who they are. That's their presence online because they want to, as you mentioned, to protect their privacy for one reason or another. I, like you, don't. All right. So then, besides pseudonyms or alts, you might have somebody who is a troll.
Yes.
Now, a troll can inhabit, as you said you do.
I be who I be.
That's it.
That's right.
You are you. And if you're going to troll, you're going to troll.
I'm Matt, coach.
And sometimes you're going to be nice, Mark, and then sometimes you're trolly, Mark.
That's
and
right.
Most of the time, actually, you're pretty trolly. The funny
what?
Thing is,
no,
yeah,
I'm not. No, I am a delight.
Oh, I beg to differ.
I am a
you
charm.
Had people raising money to get rid of you.
Yeah, but that's only. But do any cool people do that? No, only idiots.
Okay, so you can be a troll with your own name. You can be a sock puppet who is employed to troll.
That's correct. I mean, the Russians famously did that in the 2016 election.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about historically people who put on pseudonyms. And
would you like my first instance of it? Historically?
Yes, I would love to hear your. Yes, I would love to hear your take on what is the first. I'm ready. I don't have like an moment of trolling.
Oh, I do.
All right, excellent. What
are
is it?
Are you ready?
Is it biblical?
It is.
Oh,
it's the Bible.
Oh my God.
There is, and that was a very accepted practice back then, as I understand it, with my fairly weak grasp of history.
Mark, I'll be the judge of this.
Yes. Well, be judge it. Ready?
Go.
So it was acceptable to write under the name of someone with moral, religious, or philosophical authority, and it wasn't considered plagiarism or whatever. You can write as Mark the Apostle, you know, without that was just kind of accepted. That was normative. They would just do that, and it was okay to do that. You could write under that name, and none of the Gospels are actually written by the people whose name they're attached to. I think that's a historical fact. The historicity of that is that, no, those guys didn't actually write the books, right? They're written about 100 years later.
They were too busy being apostles. But you're assuming that people just decided, okay, I'm going to wake up one day and I'm just going to write something down.
That's what they did.
Mark.
And they would say, you know, this is the gospel according to Mark. And Mark wasn't writing it, right? It was some guy named whatever, Ibrahim. Which is fine, but that was accepted back then, and you know that was just their pseudonym.
Whoever the guy was that wrote it down wasn't just saying, "I'm just going to write this down."
I'm pretty sure he actually did. Now,
that's
a matter of theology, but in my mind, he definitely just said, "You know what? I'm going to write this down.
I have an
See
idea,
if it takes off.
And I'm going to just write."
Exactly.
No, that is not how that works.
I'm going to put it. I'm going to write it on these pieces of paper. I'm going to put it in these urns. And somebody's going to find it.
No, how it was is that it was initially an oral tradition that was then passed down and passed down orally. Stop it.
I didn't say a word.
You just raised your eyebrow.
Of course, that's what I did.
I want you to stop. It was passed down orally and then.
As so many things are.
And then at a certain point, it was written down. Then they decide, okay, now we're going to write this down.
Yeah,
that's
but guess
how
whose
that
name they signed to it?
Mark's.
That's right.
Because it was an oral tradition of the teachings of Mark or the teachings of Paul, more likely the teachings of Paul.
Too. But still, they're basically assuming the identity of Mark when they're writing these things down. And if you think that they were written down, you know, without any redaction or editing, I think that would be naive. Right? They are writing as Mark. And that was accepted practice.
However, earlier when I was mentioning Shakespeare, there's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
I know you don't believe it. And this conspiracy theory is really rooted in the idea of an alt identity, which would be that other people wrote the plays of Shakespeare.
Like he had a workshop going or something.
Well, that certain people who would have been elites, potentially, that would have had some insight, because much of Shakespeare's work, if you really read it and understand it, rooted in the time in which mm-hmm. it was written and performed, right. was critical of the Tudor
sure was.
Dynasty. But Shakespeare, to me, that story about, or that sort of conspiracy theory where somebody else is writing it and it's being published in Shakespeare's name to avoid trouble for the guy who's actually being critical of the yeah. politics of the time. Right. I like that idea. Sure. That appeals to me. Why of all the you? Conspiracies in the world of conspiracies,
you like that
that's
one.
That one really appeals to me.
Yeah.
And I think that one could be...
There could be a couple of things in there that Shakespeare's like, you know, didn't actually write.
Well, Christopher Marlowe is also yes. in the mix somewhere yes. there too, so he whatever. Is. All right, so that's one. Give me one of yours, and then I've got a couple of others.
All right, so
about.
This is a
on.
Pretty weighty, serious literary collection that was essentially written by sock puppets. And we're talking about, of course, Frank, Joe, and Fenton.
Oh, that's true. Well, those are, yes.
The detectives from Bayport who solved dozens of very serious mysteries.
Talk about true crime, everyone.
I mean, these guys were pioneers, okay? They're out there with their pals, right? Their chums.
Biff
and Chet. And they're out there. They're punching people in the solar plexus, in the midriff sometimes. They're cold cocking people. I mean, there's a lot going on. They have their little boat, the Sleuth. But there is no person called Franklin W. Dixon. And by the way, ladies, sorry to tell you, there's no Carolyn Keene either. So Nancy Drew was written by the same factory of writers.
As the Hardy Boys,
as the
which
Hardy
is
Boys.
What Mark yeah. was so brilliantly referencing.
Yes.
Right, okay, so these are alternate pseudonyms or whatever.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Then you can get into some sock puppet situations historically. Ben Franklin, for example.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Was a sock puppet. He wrote, so he... In the true sense of the original definition,
I almost
of
said,
puppet.
Yeah, he wrote under the name Little Richard. And I'm like, well, that's not quite right, is it? Great balls of fire.
No, okay, no, there's a difference. So what I'm talking about is where he was a sock puppet, not right. where he adopted a nom de plume.
Okay.
I'm talking about where he was a
yeah, he would
actual
write
sock.
He editorials wrote things, or
and then he would review his own work.
Right.
Okay.
Well, who is more qualified?
Same. Well, that's true. Same for Walt Whitman.
Really?
For example,
that
yes.
Sneaky fuck.
I know. So while his, like, Leaves of Grass has become obviously a staple of the American canon.
Absolutely.
Like American literature canon.
He made sure of it by giving himself tons of great reviews.
He did. He was somebody that had to initially, like, reviewers were like, this is not good.
Yeah.
I mean, they really didn't care for it.
And then they're like, this is the greatest piece of work of all time, not Walt.
So I'm reading.
My name is Malt Mittman.
So Chauncey Farrow writing for Mental Floss.
Chauncey Farrow?
No, that's not the name he
used. Oh, okay. I'm like, that's quite a pen name,
no,
bro.
This is actually the guy's
oh,
name.
Oh, he's a real guy. Wow, that's how embarrassing Chauncey.
Chauncey Farrow writing for Mental Floss said, in hopes of bolstering sales, the writer reviewed his own book, anonymously publishing fawning endorsements of his own writing.
Right. Again, we are terrible.
OG sock puppet. OG sock puppet. All right. So now let's take a shift into kind of trolling.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna talk about how sock puppets become trolls.
Yes.
There's a lot there. Obviously, so many people are spending so much time online.
Right. Especially the last 2 years.
Especially the last 2 years. Online has become one of the major ways for people to be able to actually connect with one another, because we've been, obviously, because of the panna cotta, isolated.
Right. So Pangea has made us all not only come together as continents, but also come together online.
So this is actually very, very true. And so when that happens, as people are getting more and more, and people were already online, but now that they're depending on it more and more, it's also unleashing just this unfettered access to people who may not, number one, be very comfortable or familiar with being online. There are a slew of noobs.
Amateurs.
There are a slew of noobs. There are a slew of noobs who've entered the fray.
By the way, it used to be cooler to not call them noobs and call them nubs.
Oh.
I think that even has gone, you know, the way of the dinosaur.
Could be, but at any rate, so you've got all these newbies online who really don't know how to navigate Twitter, for instance, which is really cutthroat. Twitter is intense.
Oh, yeah. Well, lots of online interactions are intense, but yeah, Twitter is definitely bare knuckle.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, but you have also an element of free speech that enters into this discussion. And I'd like to ask you, I know this is unusual to ask for a second hot take.
All right.
But I'm going to ask you for a second hot take.
I mean, I shot my load earlier, so I'm not sure I have.
Wow, I guess.
That's a reference to muskets. All right. Why don't you calm yourself over there?
I mean, I can't help it. It was a lot. All right.
You know.
Oh,
what can
Mark.
I say?
Oh, gross. Please. Grow up. All right.
So. That is unlikely to happen at this point.
Oh, my God. All right. So talk to me about your thoughts on free speech as a component of online interaction / trolling.
Right. So this has been a big debate because, of course, free speech is a fairly fundamental right. We've, you know, encoded it into the Constitution. And you'll find that the people who are the loudest about free speech are the ones who are saying the shittiest things, which was what free speech was designed to protect, right? Unpopular speech. However, in the last 2 years, that has come to be somewhat problematic. And people get a little confused about how free speech works, right? They think that I have freedom to say whatever I want without consequence on whatever platform I choose, public or private. Well, I'm sorry to disabuse them of that notion, but really what your free speech rights entail is that the government won't curtail it unless there's some compelling public interest, like you're shouting fire in a theater, right? Mm-hmm. So we've had a lot of people shouting fire in the theater on these online platforms, which, by the way, like it or not, are owned by private companies.
They're private.
And they're entitled to curate that in whatever way they choose with very few limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the big thing is...
You call it the Pangea. You could call it the Panettone.
I don't even know what that means.
It's that Christmas cake from Italy.
All right, delicious. We're going to say that. Okay, we're just going to call it the Panettone.
So good with butter on it, everyone.
Well, I don't even know. Mm-hmm. But okay, so the Panettone, we've had a lot of people who have been, quote unquote, exercising their free speech to spread, in many times, dangerous misinformation that isn't just related to COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
It's related to election fraud, conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the internet has given these people a voice, which is easily amplified by mm-hmm. these means we're discussing, sock puppets, for example.
Yep.
And allows them to spread sometimes dangerous misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really continued to where a significant portion of the population has lost grip on reality for a lot of fairly important issues,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay, so trolls are people who generally are looking for, and I learned this term and it was really disturbing to me, but there's lull, it's called a lulz cow.
Lulz. L-U-L-Z. That's the currency of the troll, and it's what they're after. Lulls are laughs, fun and amusement at the expense of others. The Wagoner crew will prod people online for reactions. The bigger their response, the more popular the target becomes.
Someone who gets really animated and waves their arms around on camera, preferably, they might start crying. They become lulz cow. They're like an ongoing target. We love that kind of reaction. We want to make them cry. We love to make them cry.
Oh, so those are the kind of the sheeple or grazing animals of the internet who are available, you know, ripe for plucking type of thing.
They are ripe for
trolling.
They are the ones that will give you a lot, because trolls don't troll just to troll. They troll because they want the reaction. They enjoy trolls, as we discovered in our earlier conversation about the test that I shared.
And will we divide them between trolls for lulls and trolls for goals? Like, some trolls are out there trying to influence an election. Some are just there because they want their friends to think they're cool to make people mad.
See, I would say that trolls, yeah, maybe. Maybe that's a fair division. But when we talked about that test, that psychological mm-hmm. test that in the beginning with the
which
bugs.
Everybody passed except for Dave.
Killing bugs. Well, no, because what about on Twitter? 23 to 24% of the people that responded on Twitter said that they would kill bugs. This is not surprising to me. And it's no shame.
Because Dave is a vicious killer.
No, it's no shame. It's just a person who, look, historically, people have enjoyed blood sport.
Right.
They really have. If you like a prize fight, if you like to see mixed martial arts, if you enjoy movies with a lot of gore.
By the way, I'm teasing. Dave is a very gentle and kind person in general.
I thought,
and maybe now he's, you know, Christian Bale wearing a plastic suit.
What's his name? Patrick Bates or something like that.
Yeah, whatever it is.
So trolls, they have shown, have four traits that really sort of mark who they are, online trolls.
Right. Dust on their fingers.
That sort of exist prevalently in online trolls who have been tested.
And we should say that not everybody has all traits, and not everybody with these traits is a troll.
Online troll.
But these are just common traits of the average troll.
Of the average online troll.
Hit me with them.
The Dark Tetrad.
Whoa. So I saw that movie. That was awesome.
Machiavellianism.
Yes.
So they like to manipulate.
Right.
Psychopathy. So they...
They like to eat people.
They kind of... No! God damn it. Psychopathy, which means they kind of... They know things are wrong, but
they do it anyway. Sort of an amorality.
There's sort of a callous indifference in the pursuit of what they want.
Right.
Like, they know...
You're not supposed to be mean to people and kick kittens, but I kind of want to do it.
But I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because they maybe in their minds say, I have a bigger goal. And in pursuit of that bigger goal, there's going to have to.
Or I'm smarter than anybody else. I'm allowed to do this.
Well, that's your justification.
No, that's most trolls' justification. I don't think you'll find very many humble trolls.
So narcissists, right? Yeah. Exactly. Well, let's lead into that. Not a lot of humble narcissists. So narcissists have sort of a callous indifference in wanting to hog the limelight. They just want the attention. Yeah. And trolls thrive on the attention that they get. And then sadists harm people
for entertainment
because it's pleasurable to them.
Yes.
On some level. That doesn't mean that you're a serial killer. So, like, there's Ted Bundy sadists.
There are degrees.
And like BTK sadist.
Right.
And then there are people who like to watch a good horror movie.
Right.
Because they get a little bit of a thrill out of seeing people.
Look, as long as you don't kill a dog in a movie, I'm okay.
I can't watch any of it.
No.
I
know you can't. You're way too empathetic and involved.
I'm far too empathetic.
Honestly, I mean, as soon as you see the girl in high heels running across the moors, you're like, oh, she's definitely going to die and I'm going to feel every second of it.
For instance, like, my kids turned on Walking Dead, and that was like a 20 minute.
That's a lot.
Just before they were leaving for the for going out. And it was 20 minutes of absolute torture for me because I can't stand to watch these things getting. I know they're zombies. I know they're bad guys. I can't stand to watch it.
I watched it right up until they killed Glenn.
Glenn!
I'm just going to tell you guys.
I love
Glenn.
When they killed Glenn, and that was that guy, I actually love Jeffrey Dean.
Negus.
I love Jeffrey Dean.
By the way, I would like to give a little shout out to Chris Berry, who is a friend of mine online, who was killed spectacularly in that show just prior to the Negus scene. I don't know if you ever saw this.
Was he a zombie?
No. He was working for the Negus, and he came and he stopped kind of the good guys or whatever, and he's like, your guns are ours. Your truck is ours. And he'd had this great...
That's Chris? I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris, I'm impressed with your acting,
He's
my guy.
He's a great actor, but he was definitely sadistic in that scene.
Okay, well, right? Thank you for the hint.
He was enjoying, he was enjoying torturing these people.
Well, there's,
and
there's
know
an
that,
element of power that comes with
oh,
that position.
For sure.
Okay, so what motivates trolls online?
First of all, I think one of the prime motivators for all humans... Mm-hmm. is status. Money, yes, it's nice. Everybody wants money, but they want money for status, right? That means you win. Do you want that pretty girl? Of course you do. Everybody likes a pretty girl, but you really want it for status.
Wow, that is not in my wheelhouse at all. It's so interesting to hear you talk. Mark is an online troll, everyone, 100%.
sometimes
Mark,
I am.
Mark, you're like super comfortable
so what they
inhabiting
want,
that.
What they want is to be superior and seen as superior to those around them. And like you, that term you used, what was that? The lull cows?
Lulls cow.
Yeah, they want to be seen as...
Getting the most lulls.
The wolf,
yeah.
Right? And that's their main goal is status. Because I think you'll find, not always, but often, especially with people who do nothing but troll, mm-hmm. is that their real status in the real world, not that great. Right? They're in their parents' basement.
Not all of them. Okay, so what...
But not all of them. But I'm just saying in general, I think status, for those who aren't doing it for a political purpose or because it's their job, I think status is really the biggest thing. And not necessarily among the people who you are trolling, but among your troll buddies who you then go back to. It's like, did you see how I got her all worked up? Or
yeah.
That guy flipped out on me. Wasn't that awesome?
So have you ever heard of Wild Goose or the Bill Wagner crew?
No.
Okay, these are the guys that are like 100% like really twisted now. That,
like 4chan kind of
they're
like
they're
incel,
they're amongst
whatever.
That group, but they don't they're not really incels. They're
well,
just like
I bet they are.
No, they're not. They are just like people who men generally who really enjoy digging at these lulz cows. That's,
yeah.
Those are the guys that sort of coined,
and
I guess,
you think those guys are getting dates?
No. Well, listen, they do some things that are so extreme.
Yeah.
One of the things they describe doing is called rip trolling. Have you ever heard of this?
No. See, obviously I'm not a real troll because I don't know any of these things.
Okay. I'm laughing, everyone, not because it's funny, but because it makes me nervous and uncomfortable. So right. So that's my...
What's a rip troll?
When somebody dies and their family puts up a memorial up in their honor, we might set up a separate page, or we might just go on that page and create a ruckus. But the idea is to get as many followers as possible on that page and make it seem as legit as possible so that we can offend as many people as possible when we start posting gore and other kinds of shocking material.
Oh, okay, that rip, okay.
And they say terrible things.
About the dead
person. The deceased
person. I mean, from a performance art standpoint, you have to like be a little bit, you know, like, wow, okay, that's a thing.
I
would never do it because that's really horrible. But I mean, that's interesting performance art. I'm going to say that right now.
It gets people going. Not,
oh, no kidding. It gets
people going. Everyone responds.
Yeah.
Right. But like most people recognize if someone comes in and goes, that person deserves whatever they say. They'll say things like really horrible things.
Yeah.
That bitch deserves to be burning in hell because she was such a slut.
Right.
I mean, it's like really vile.
No, you got to do better than that, I think.
No, well, that's what they do.
Unique.
No, that's what they do.
Like, I would be like, you know, well, Bartleby the Scrivener there stole my pencil in third grade and I'm glad he's fucking dead. Right? That's what I would do.
Okay, wait, I've got one of the best trolls ever in my mind. Okay, but anyway, what they do is they go in and they'll say these things and then you see like the comments come back.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the hell are you doing, man? Think of the family.
Right.
Right? Like
that's a win for them.
That's a win. And so what they want is to egg on people that are like that.
Right.
People who will trigger to that stuff.
Right.
They do not like the people who ignore them. If you ignore them, they don't care. They're not going to bother you, you know, and most people.
And by the way, that is generally the best reaction.
Do not feed the trolls.
Right.
And then the other thing that they don't want is they don't want to pick on someone who's too weak. that would then do right. something to hurt themselves.
They're going
to
punch down, but they don't want to punch way
they
down.
They don't punch way down because they don't want to. They don't want their lulls. He says
they don't want them to kill themselves.
This guy yeah. says
there's a symbiotic relationship between the internet troll and the lulls cow. The Bill Wagoner crew has never pushed anyone towards suicide, nor have we tried to. That's never our intent. Why would we kill a perfectly good lulls cow? If we were to knock them off the internet or out of real life, what benefit would that provide us? You know, how are we going to get any lulls out of someone who's 6 feet underground?
What good is a lulls cow? Why would
many
I...
rabbit holes did you go down for this
Oh
thing?
My God, girl. I...
That's a lot.
I am also going down.
You're like checking.
This.
Yeah, you're checking other rabbit holes.
I am.
You're subterranean in any event.
I am. I'm like, I am my own mole.
Yes.
My God, I'm blind and I'm like, yeah, blind like
digging through
around.
The dirt.
Through the dirt. It's very dirty, everyone. But he said, what good would it be for me to kill my lulls cow? Why would I? Why
right.
would I?
Well,
why
for,
would I kill
for,
a perfectly good lulls
beef,
cow?
I guess I don't know.
No, but anyway. Okay, but I have the best example of okay. trolling. Are you ready?
All right.
Do you remember Fletch? I know you're
of
not
course.
A huge fan
yeah,
of Fletch.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
where he goes into the Shriner dinner
okay.
and he's fleeing the cops and then he gets up and he's like,
Fred, the Dorf Dorfman.
Who is he? Many of you don't know that Fred was darn near death recently and he wasn't ashamed to admit to me that he'd had syphilis and thank God he stopped in his tracks. I must tell you that it takes a lot for a man to admit where he got it from and how he got it. And I must say, look at him today. Fred, you look just wonderful. The nose looks normal again. The face has come back into shape. And it's not drooling anymore. It's a good sign.
Well, that's like an in-person troll.
Right.
It's like a complete
yeah,
roast.
Absolutely.
And that's really what it is. It's
a roast.
It's a roast
for people who don't know they're at a roast.
Exactly. Like you're not
it's
prepared.
It's a secret roast.
You're not prepared at
right.
all.
Your audience is not aware that they're at a roast.
And all of a sudden you post something
like,
that's totally.
Why is Don Rickles saying all these things about my friend? Well, you're at a roast. Oh, I had no idea.
All of a sudden you post something you think is totally innocent and someone rolls in.
Are you super uncomfortable watching roasts, by the way?
No. I appreciate
you
roasts.
You do? See,
no.
I admit that those make me uncomfortable a lot.
Only
of times.
If they're not funny. Now, there's this guy called Dr. Adam Steele is the first doctor.
That is not a real name.
No, he is.
I'm Dr. Adam Steele. I am an associate professor of computer science at DePaul University in Chicago. I think I'm the first recorded troll on the internet. Certainly not the first troll, but the first one that was actually written up.
He's the first recorded troll. He's from Canada originally. He was in university in Canada.
Canadians are so polite.
This is not a polite man.
No, he's like, I'm putting on my America hat.
No, hang on. And when he was at university in Canada.
Yeah.
Now see, you guys, these are the funny trolls, right?
Right.
Like these are
and
the
And by
things.
The way, if you're clever, we give you a bit of a pass.
So this is hilarious trolling. Like this is trolling that I think everybody can appreciate is funny.
Right.
Not the rip trolling, although... I mean,
I don't know. I'm almost on board. Like my morals are screaming against it, but I'm almost on board from a performance art standpoint.
Like you have to give them credit because, like, where else?
That's genius.
That's like pretty smart. Okay, and they formed this group, and they were online. And this is back in the day where you had DOS, and it was like really.
You're like on a bulletin board,
like listservs and stuff like that.
And if you wanted to download a naked picture, it'd take you like an hour and a half.
I never
trust me.
Okay. and so they would tell each other stupid jokes.
Yeah.
Then that became not enough.
Right.
And then he's like,
not
well,
edgy enough.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, yeah. So these are like
edgelord.
Early edgelords.
Yeah.
So, and I'm going to take you there.
Oh, I'm sure
right.
you are.
So he goes, okay, well, let's find a message board.
And there was this idea that the people of alt.tasteless should invade a news group. And somebody suggested rec.pets.cats.
Yes, cat lovers would be the next target, and Adam would be the lead.
So I guess my contribution was that we should actually engage them by writing a story that would appear to be from somebody who was genuinely concerned, get them to respond, a stealth attack.
So this is early online. You got to know that all these people are geeks because they're all
please.
Like on.
Yeah, if you're
computers.
Online at
if
that
you're
point,
online and those
they're like, we're gonna put a 24-hour camera on our coffee pot and we're gonna get people to watch it.
Yeah,
right.
Okay,
it's that level of nerdery.
So he goes in and they find this board about cats.
All right.
and he starts posting. And the thing about clever trolls is they post something that you can't really tell they're trolling.
You're like, are they serious about that?
And so he's got a bunch of well-meaning people around him who are really cat aficionados. Right. And so they observe the board for a while. They start engaging, and then all of a sudden they start posting crazy shit.
Like, my cat recently passed away. Would it be wrong if I had a pencil sharpener installed in his butthole and used it on my desk?
No, they make them into pencil bags now, cats.
Yeah, well, dead I mean, I read animals. The book. I read the book, right? Right. Everybody read 101 Uses of a Dead Cat, right?
All right, back in the 80s. So, no, this guy goes in and he's like, you know.
Sooty goes into heat something fierce, yowling and presenting all the time. While dinner was cooking, I tried to stimulate her with a Q-tip because I had heard that one can induce ovulation that way. My date came into the bathroom while I was doing this, and needless to say, I don't think she bought my explanation.
The cat lovers, however, bought Adam's story, hook, line, and sinker.
The initial responses to the post were very helpful and essentially suggested that Sooty should get spayed.
See, now that's pretty clever, right? And yes, it's horrible and it's going to make people mad, but you're not really hurting an individual, right?
No, you're not striking out. But people were, he said at first, people tried to be helpful and say, well, you know, well.
Then slowly other suggestions started popping up.
As the off-color suggestions became grosser and more extreme, the cat lovers were outraged, and the alt-tasteless gang had a blast.
It's so wrong.
But see, that I can appreciate, right?
And I don't know. Do you think it's a Gen X thing that we can find that hilarious? Or is that also millennials? Because I feel like
millennials.
I feel
they're like a darker sense of humor even, I think,
Gen
than we
Z
do.
Has yeah. a, I mean, we've raised Gen Z, right. So Gen Z is going to be
way,
obviously
dark humor,
exponentially
darker. Dark humor is fine. It really always, for me, you know, my philosophy has always been almost anything can be funny if you come at it from the right direction, right?
Right.
You're not punching down. You're not hurting vulnerable people. And then as long as it's funny, right? And you're not coming at it from, you're not really racist or you're not really sexist. Good comedy has that kind of tension, right? Between what's just kind of normal and then what's really a little bit taboo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you make funny, right? Between in that tension. And you have to surprise people too. Predictable comedy is not funny.
No.
So it was unpredictable that he would stick a Q-tip in his cat. Right? So that makes it funny. Now, I'm going to be on board with this guy. I'm going to say,
terrible.
I'm going to give
I
him
mean,
a thumbs
now
up.
Now he's a totally respectable guy. He's a
Canadian.
He's a Canadian. So you know he can
Sorry.
Only be so mean. But he.
Sorry.
All right. But there is a dark side to trolling.
Yeah.
Obviously. There's a lot of misogyny online, and it comes a lot out of the 4chan community. Those guys, the incel guys, will come out and they've done very public abuses of women who were in the gaming community.
Oh yes,
okay. So Gamergate is one of the things. One of the places that I've seen some of the kind of harshest trolling happen, really no holds barred.
Yeah,
is in some of these political forums that you and I belong to.
Sure.
Now, we interviewed a guy who is somebody that we both know.
And when you say we, do you mean you?
No, you know him too. You've interacted with him. No, yeah. I interviewed him.
Right.
But you've interacted with him.
I know him.
I mean, we've appeared on his podcast, things like that. He was kind of a notorious troll on those
in that small community.
Yeah. I mean, he's not like trolling, as far as I know, not trolling all over the web, but he was trolling in that community, and that spanned multiple years, and it spanned multiple Facebook pages.
Are we going to work into my theory here?
Yeah, well, we will eventually. Well, we've already said it. If you are going to troll, that's kind of who you like.
If you troll in the same way over and over, you're consistently that person. That's who you are.
That is who you are. There's
now,
something in
I would
you.
Make an exception for the guy who's, you know, talking in the cat forums, right? I don't think he's really having sex with his cat.
No, he's not, but he's that sarcastic.
Right. He is willing to break those taboos for humor.
For humor,
right?
To get a laugh, right? Yeah. And so
that's
right.
Just,
so
and people always act like, well, you know, like I just put on a goatee and all of a sudden I'm evil Kirk, right? No, you're both Kirks, okay? If you act that way online,
You know, maybe that's the most honest way to be, though. To be fair, maybe that's
they're
an honest
honestly
expression
being themselves
of who they are. So they
unfortunately,
are not,
they're just
they
shitty
both,
people.
They are both Kirks. No, maybe they are both Kirks. Maybe they're both good Kirk and evil Kirk.
No, and look, online
I think that tracks.
Yeah, online we have fewer inhibitions, right?
Well, because of the anonymity.
It's basically, you know, in internet veritas.
So this person that I interviewed shared with me, he's the gentleman that said, you know, like, I got banned from Facebook. I got a 30-day ban. And I wanted to be able to continue interacting. And so he then put on this identity.
But here's my thing. You can come back and keep your same fucking name. If they ban Mark Snedeker, I could come back as Mark Sned. Everybody still knows who I am. Still have my same sexy ass picture up. Everybody knows who I am. I'm still
everyone.
Subject.
My
I'm
God,
still well, not
the
everyone.
Ego. The ego.
Everyone who is lucky enough to know me.
Oh God.
But you know what I mean. Like if I come back and I only slightly change my name to get past the algorithm. Mm-hmm. But I'm still presenting myself as who I am. I'm still subject to those social penalties if I overstep.
What he said to me is, because it was interesting, I went into that interview with a confirmation bias and he called me on it 100%. The first question, he said, I know what you're looking for me to say, but it's not that way. He said, I was the same guy that I was when I was my real name as I was when I put on my alt.
I mean, that's fine.
And I think that that's self-aware. And I think that that's probably true more than not, which leads into your theory, which is if you are who you are when you're trolling consistently, that's who you are.
Yeah.
So you might as well put on your real face and troll.
Right.
Because why wouldn't you then?
So he's somewhat being himself.
He is. No, he's 100%. He says he's being himself and he is being himself. And he went through, you know, so he said, I trolled when I was my name. I continued to troll when I put on my alt. I didn't take off my alt because I was getting threats.
Right. Which is, and by the way, that's one of the acceptable reasons to have a sock puppet, right? That we kind of agree on it for personal protection or privacy.
Well, that's not really a sock puppet. That's an alt. I would say that there's a difference. There's a difference in by degree in an alt and a sock puppet. Okay. And so what I would say is that this guy instead, because I went into it thinking, well, he put that on so that he could go out and he could say whatever he wants to say.
Right.
And he said, nope, that is not, you know, I know what you're looking for me to say here, but that's not what it is. So that's really the reason that this part was not tacked into the last episode, because I realized I had a confirmation bias and I really wanted to do some digging
and understand what I was doing. I mean, and that's fair, because certainly, you know, there are a lot of gradations and variety in why people do what they do.
Yes. So what's interesting to me is that he put on this alt and then he continued on trolling.
Right.
And he then said to me, I said, you know, I kind of, we discussed what he did and how he did what he did. And he said, I just did it really to sort of poke at people that I felt were, you know, sort of hypocritical or to like point out hypocrisy,
which is a perfectly valid reason
or
to troll,
inconsistencies
in my opinion.
Or just to torment people. I mean, he said, I just did it to get at people that he thought deserved getting at, right?
And which is why I would do it too, right? I would have that same justification, which is
there are some people that you just look at and you go, I'm you're like, so self-fucking satisfied.
You need to be deflated.
Let's just take you down. Like, because you are not who you... And there is a guy that both of you and I...
Right.
I'm not going to give him any kind of name in this, but there is a guy that you and I both think...
Yeah, deserves that kind
deserves it. I mean, I am telling you, everyone, you know that I'm very nice.
She is. You're way nicer than me.
You know that I'm very empathetic, everyone. I am telling you this guy deserves to be taken because there are a couple of people that I have encountered online that I think are pure evil.
Yeah.
And I think that guy is evil. I think he is evil.
In my opinion, I think evil gives him a little bit too much credit. He's just a shitty person, right? He's insecure and he's shitty. And he's rude and arrogant above his abilities. You know what I mean?
As one often is when one is that way.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, I never pretended that I always tell people when we were on Twitter and we were engaging in this whole nonsense with the Willverse, right?
Mm-hmm.
I always told people, I'm like, look, I'm not as nice as Christina is. So if you come at me, be prepared. You know, I'm going to make fun of you. I'm going to humiliate you if I can, because I don't tolerate that kind of crap, right? If you're an idiot and you're trying to pretend not to be an idiot, I'm going to probably call you an idiot.
And then they put a hit out on
me. And then they put a hit out on me. And just so you know what Christine is talking about, this was, you know, back, if you look back a few episodes where we were talking about that fan group on TikTok, Christina found someone who showed her a page where they were taking donations to quote unquote get rid of Mark, which I assume is some kind of Gross Point Blank thing. I mean, I expect to see John Cusack knock on my door.
Oh my God, I'd love that. Suit. Do you think he would?
Well, I mean, but if he kills me, are you saying then you can date him? Then he's free for.
Well, I mean, then that's Lloyd Dobler.
It is Lloyd Dobler in a, you know, as a killer.
Don't rest your judgment on that.
Yes.
I love him. All right, so this guy. Then he's trolling. And he does. He gets people's goat. And there are a lot of people online in general who are not the most stable people.
I would say that if you find someone who the most active people online probably have the most kind of challenging IRL
existences for whatever reason. And that could be because they're very lonely. That could be because
they've
got something really serious going on in their lives, and this is an escape for them. They're looking for friends, whatever. No judgment on any of that.
Right.
But that is generally, those are people that are going to be more vulnerable to trolls than other people who can just kind of turn off their phone and go, whatever, I'm going to scroll past that. That's not going to bother me. He just kept going and going and going.
Now, did you talk to him at all about the fact that the views, the kind of the direction he takes his trolling is who he is?
Well, what I said to him was when I would then go on, because I met him not in as a troll. I met him as somebody who was doing a podcast and who asked us
a female centric podcast
who asked us to come on to a podcast and we did one together, and then he included me on some additional ones that he did, and I was on those podcasts with a number of just amazing, brilliant women.
Marie Curie. Jane Goodall.
But
Emily Dickinson was on once,
no,
I think.
No. Oh. So I was on these podcasts and I thought, you know, this is not like, I don't get it. Like I know he's got this reputation, but he's a decent guy and he's listening to what people are saying and all of the rest.
Right.
Well, come to find out, he continued to troll. When I interviewed him, I said to him, you've stepped back from that. And he said, I've stepped back from online. Totally. I've completely stepped back. And I said, well, why did you make that decision? Right. And he said, I hurt people. He wasn't talking about the people that he trolled.
Right.
He was talking about the people whose reputations, and I'm not talking about mine now because mine was very insignificant.
Your reputation is intact.
I was very insignificant because I was very briefly in the political groups and I still am, but I lurk. I lurk and I read.
I sucked you in there, kind of.
Well, I lurk and I read. Because it's interesting to me, but I'm not somebody that's going to dive into a big, deep...
Right. It's not your life.
It's just not going to be worth my time to get into, like, a deep political conversation with someone because it's just going to be frustrating.
Yeah.
So, but the women that were on this podcast with us, they are active members with incredible reputations for brilliance and kindness and intelligence and all of the rest, and he did things that then blew back on them.
Yeah, because he would act like a dickhead, and they're like, how can you go on a podcast with this guy who's a dickhead?
How can you go on a podcast? And the thing is that we knew him and still do know him from the person that he is, not when he's trolling, but from the person that he is when he's listening and he's actually taking things in.
And he's clearly both people.
And he said to me in our interview, I learned things from these people.
Yeah.
And I realized that I wasn't doing the right thing. Now, he is a person that's in recovery. He's very open about that. So I'm not sharing anything that isn't, I'm not giving his name.
Yeah.
But he's a person that's in recovery.
Jeff.
No, it's not Jeff. So, But he said it sounded like he had a real moment where he sat down and he really had
come to Jesus.
Have a come to Jesus, and he said, or come to universe.
Whatever.
And he said, you know, look,
I realize
that what I'm supposed to be is of service to people.
Right.
And
not,
how am
not
I being
a dillweed.
How am I being of service if I'm just hurting
now,
like if I'm poking at people?
I think
Mark has none of these compunctions.
I think that my I don't even know if I would call it trolling, but we'll call it trolling. I think my trolling is of service to humanity. I think people really need to see what I'm doing here. And really appreciate it for not only the art, but the social commentary that it is.
So anyway, he ends up...
He's retired from trolling.
Is he there? Well, I think so, unless he's put on some other really deep alt that no one knows. He might have, but who knows? But anyway, he is retired from trolling. He's concentrating on other things, and he is revamping his podcast. And I'm going to see if
I can... Are you thinking about it?
No, Well, he hasn't invited me, but well, I'm...
But
I'm,
why wouldn't he?
Well,
look at you.
No, because it's...
You've been featured on Amazon featured podcasts.
No, he is...
And you have the Star Trek, soundboard here. You're the communications officer for the goddamn Enterprise.
Can you just shut up and let me finish my statement?
Maybe.
All right. So he's doing a podcast with a fellow Californian. They both live in California.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see if I can, I've already promoted it, but I want to see if he'll let me promote it for this episode.
Yeah.
It's a great podcast. So now we're going to pivot to trolls who are women who hurt women.
Wow. Do those exist?
Yes, they do.
As a matter of fact,
it was always assumed that online trolls were men.
A lot of them are. I think the majority of them probably are.
They think that they are. But one of the things that people are finding, especially around feminist or mommy blogs or mommy issues, because just in general, that's a contentious issue.
Yeah.
Parenting,
the choice
to stay at home versus choice to breastfeed versus not. Right. There's a lot of mommy wars that happen. The choice to vax.
You guys need to relax a little
or
bit.
Not vax.
We're on the same team, for God's sake.
No, well.
To goop or not to goop?
Well.
Is that one?
Yeah, for sure.
And I honestly will admit to, I guess it's either naivete or sexism possibly, where I thought until we got involved in the Willverse thing, I would have thought that women on women trolling was exceedingly rare.
As a matter of fact, in this documentary that I watched, and of course we've been a part of it in the Willverse, but I believe it is for our best interests and safety that we have way further comments on that situation.
I guess.
I mean, let cooler heads prevail.
Oh, I thought you were going to say let sleeping dogs lie.
No,
wow, that's really antagonistic.
No, I don't. I think I would have gone for a stronger term. But anyway, all right. So in the documentary that I watched, and I mentioned it before, the mommy bloggers and women against women trolling happens around that quite a bit. And the thing that's very interesting, and we have seen this happen, women are going to go hard at other women and they're going to try and do things to really hurt them. And often that's going to cross the boundary from online into real life.
Right. They're going to show up at your house and...
It's not necessarily that they will show up at your house. Not they may.
Call
that,
your job.
But they may call your job. They may... do stupid things like subscribe you to a bunch of useless magazines. Harassment.
Yeah.
In real life.
Honestly, I could use some reading material, so troll me.
Oh my God, no. We've had some experience with that, unfortunately. But that's really how it can go from being just online.
Yeah.
To...
That's not enough.
Right. And so the one woman that was interviewed in this...
Do you think it's because they're hysterical?
I'm a little... Mark! No, they're not hysterical.
I think there's hysteria going on.
No, no, but it's a feeling, I think, of frustration. Because this woman that was on this documentary is a feminist blogger who is a stay-at-home mom.
My name is Gina Crosley Corcoran. I write a blog called The Feminist Breeder, and I deal with a really steady onslaught of very vicious and dedicated trolls. Trolls can be really, really sneaky. When you think about patterns of stalking, stalkers don't just do it really quietly. They leave their victim clues that they're being stalked in order to scare them.
Okay. So she's like a contradiction kind of, well, not necessarily
a bit of a unicorn, maybe.
It's a little bit of a different take. It's just sort of, I'm feminist, but I'm also,
I'm a
stay-at-home mom. Okay. Fair enough. You can do all of those things, I guess. However, it pisses off everyone. It pisses off, like, unless you are, that's
get
a
out
very,
there and
right.
compete in the same
be
sphere
in the work,
as men.
Be in the workforce. She's developed a small niche. She's really found this very, very specific group of people who would follow her.
Well, that, and they told us to do that with our podcast too, and we just said, fuck you, we're going to
That's what they said is, you know, you're supposed to do that on TikTok, on, you know, your podcast and all the rest. Well, that's not interesting to us anyway, but what it does to her is it puts her in contention with both sides. So there's going to be feminists who don't like her.
Everybody hates her. Yeah.
And then there are going to be stay-at-home moms who are annoyed by some of the things that she's probably saying.
Feminists are frequently targeted by trolls. Gina knew to expect attacks, but she's been overwhelmed by the volume of abuse and stunned to discover who her trolls are.
The trolls and the really dangerous people that I attract are themselves mothers and have small children at home. They get something out of taking out their frustrations on someone like me. They see me as a figurehead, and they're really angry about the attention I'm getting from people, and they want to discredit me in any way they possibly can.
Now, she's a little too uppity for them.
One of the most extreme things that they talk about, she talks about happening to her, is this one of the troll pranks, if you want to call it a prank, is that they contacted local authorities and told them that she was suicidal.
Oh, okay. So that's actually a version of another kind of trolling that is done by generally males to people who do live streaming, like Twitch gamers and stuff. It's called swatting.
Oh my God.
Where they call the local police and say, there's an active shooter, or there's, you know, someone with a bomb in this address, which is very dangerous because, you know, when SWAT comes to your house, they're not knocking on the door, right? They're blowing shit in, guns blazing, you know, and, but that's a kind of a more, you know, slightly more subdued version of that, but still very dangerous and horrible.
Well, the problem with that is that when they, when you get called on a psych call like that,
yeah,
a
they
wellness
have to do an
check,
evaluation.
They have to take you to the hospital.
Yeah.
One of them called the police and told them that I was committing suicide. So the police showed up at my house at like 3 a.m, woke me up out of bed, and said, we got an anonymous tip that you are suicidal and we have to put you under a 72-hour psych hold. So I was being thrown in the back of an ambulance, crying, you know, upset, afraid my children were gonna wake up and see mommy being taken away.
And they might hospitalize you overnight, and fortunately for her, she was able to talk them out of it. So that's some of the, that's the kind of thing that is happening. And it really, again, well, let me ask you, what do you think? What do you think is the, you know, is that, that's a little bit different than making jokes at someone's expense online.
Of course, that's definitely crossing a line. But I think it's trying to get past the impotent rage, right? Which is what a lot of people feel online. Like, I called them names and it just didn't have an effect. And that's just not enough. And I've got all this pent up anger. I'm lashing out in the real world.
That's exactly right.
Girl meets world. Here we go. And I'm going to, you
know, send you some magazines.
Exactly. I'm sending you magazines. I'm telling people you're nuts. you know, I might cancel your kid's school lunch program. I don't know. I'm doing some stuff, right? But I might buy up all the art supplies from your local store so you can't have any. I don't know. Whatever it is they do.
And I'm driving by your house
exactly.
with all my art supplies.
That's right. But I think that's what it is. I think they have, like, true rage at a certain point. And they see that their words and their online behaviors is not really having the desired effect because that person didn't cry.
Right.
They didn't quit doing what they're doing. So it spills over and they're like, okay, I'm escalating it, right?
Yeah, well, and I think that is where it gets scary.
Of course.
And of course, that is where we kind of are now in the midst of this fandom, where people have as we mentioned in the previous episode about this topic, about the fandom topic, the field was strewn with various sock puppets.
Right.
Working on behalf of the organization in question, also working on behalf or working as a part of the Loose Confederation.
Yeah.
So there are people, then they have also sock puppets, and those sock puppets can get mean. So they might have their own Twitter where they're tweeting whatever they're tweeting. Then they have another Twitter account that's their sock puppet alt. And that sock puppet alt might be cruel. And that, and they go hard at people. Now, remember, the organization was focused very much on the spicy side of Will, which, God, as time goes on, I see less and less of it. I can't, because it's just such an exhausting.
Yeah.
It feels like you're just tramping through mud. It's really bad.
Yes.
But anyway, so there are, you know, women who are into the spicy side of things. And so some of these trolls who are on the Loose Confederation side will go and they'll mock them for now. Some of the sexy stuff is getting a little bit weird. It's gone too far, but that's my own personal opinion.
Right. You're not imposing that view on other people.
No, I'm not going to them and saying, hey, I think you're a, you know, like that's too bad. Yeah. You know, like that goes too far. I might think that in my head, but I scroll past.
You might even say it on a podcast.
Some people, well, no, I mean, I'm saying it, but I'm not poking at an individual.
Right.
But some of these trolls will go after individuals and they'll mock them for that. The other thing is that now, subsequent to the podcast, there's been a lot of shakeup and many, many women have left that organization. Right. And they come out of that organization and they are looking for some place to be welcomed. And they are often greeted with suspicion because they were in the organization at all.
Normal.
And then they're greeted with, if they continue their, you know, like they like him, then they like him the spicy way.
Right.
And so then they are subject to potentially these attacks. The other thing that's happening is the organization is employing, even though they claim not to be, they clearly are because a couple of them have been outed.
Yes.
They employ women within their group to go out and put on sock puppets and troll people.
Guerrilla warfare.
So it's happening on both sides. It's gotten very, very wild. And the other thing that is happening is there's an impasse. You know, there's a point here where people are, I think people kept thinking, well, if this happens, then all the dominoes will fall over. Well, there's gaps between the dominoes.
Yeah.
And
there's no sense by certain people that they're now ashamed of their actions and have to stop. And I think that for whatever reason, has become less and less common, you know, with even like politicians used to get embarrassed by a scandal and resign, right? Now they don't resign.
No.
They just double down, right? Well, or they say it's fake. And I think you're going to see that same phenomenon here where, I said it, you know, the other day to you or on a live or somewhere, I don't know, I say stuff everywhere, but I think they're those people. They're not going to, you know, give up or admit fault or change their stripes. They're just going to continue on exactly as they are.
As they are. And they will. I think that whether there's 1,000 people in that group,
it might get down to 3 Gigi's with their backs to each other, you know, trying to fend off the ravening hordes.
And they scrape together $3,000.
Yeah, they're like, guys, we're going to have to up the per person donation here if we're going to make this allowance.
Oh,
everybody now has to donate $1,800 a month. So dig deep, ladies.
Get that Uber job.
Yeah. Better, you might want to do some Lyft driving or maybe some Bike Squad.
DoorDash.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. I'm just
picturing them running around delivering food.
The porch lady
for the Willverse.
She'd be like, no. But see, she wouldn't do it. She would have the other two.
Oh, yeah. That's
so,
right.
But that's my sense is it just gets to a point, and this probably happens with men as well, but I think it just gets to a point where the frustration, because you're not getting the return that you want.
You feel impotent and you want to see results.
And I've said multiple times to people, like, what is the end game? What yeah. What does everybody want out of this? Because there's
Ragnarok.
right now it's yeah. just free for all.
Yeah.
And there are trolls. And just last night, it seems like probably like 15 new troll accounts sprung up. And I mean, it's
talking shit.
It's really, really wild. We had hoped to have someone on the program who had been on the front lines of this for some time, but for her own safety, we've decided to not expose her to that, because we unfortunately are receiving threats, and that has continued, and so we want to try and protect her, but hopefully at some point this will all be over, and then hopefully we like sort of say, okay, now like here's the retrospective, you know, whatever it shakes out to be, at some point maybe there will be a retrospective. One of the things that I saw today on Twitter that I thought was very interesting was a remark that somebody made, and they said they're only a troll, essentially, I'm paraphrasing now, they're only a troll if they're not aligned with your views.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I think that that is often how people think. I don't think everybody, I mean, I recognize trolls that aligned with me.
Right. I recognize that they're trolls, but often I might say sick burn.
Yeah, right. And
you know, like I think that's always the case. The Schadenfreude. Yeah,
that's right. And I think that's the case with not even just like trolling, like, you know, they like guys always kind of complain. It's like, it's only creepy if you don't think he's hot. That's true, right? Like, you know, Hugh Jackman can come up and say something and people are like, "Oh, that was funny or charming," or, you know, "Haha, that was a little over the top, Hugh." But if George Costanza says it, they're like, "Oh dear, like, sir, go away. Jason, you're really making me uncomfortable."
Jason Alexander, what are you doing?
By the way, I think he's much more handsome than his character is, because he really nebbished himself up for that show.
Yeah.
So sorry, Jason. But I think that's true. Obviously, you know, people we are predisposed to support, their trolling seems less heinous, right? You know, you're like, "Ooh, good one." And on the other side, you're like, "You piece of filth.
you
fucking scum sucking booger eater."
Oh, gross.
I know. That's exactly
that's
right.
Gross.
Exactly. That's my point.
So, I mean, I think that that's, it's interesting though. And as a woman, when I see women go at women, it hurts me on a pretty profound level.
Yeah.
Because I understand.
Because you have feelings.
Because the thing that, well, I do
unlike
have
me.
I do have feelings, but also because it's very counterproductive to what womanism, right?
It's, like, it's, you know, it's support not, the team.
In the very early stages of this fandom, this was it really was women supporting women.
Right.
There was a very shining golden moment. That moment is gone.
Way gone.
That is never ever going to come back.
No, too much early, water under the bridge.
Early on, there was this thought, like, okay, if we could just get it back, if we could reset to the way that it was, we'll never get there.
No.
It will never, never, never get there. But it was definitely a shining moment. And I really thought, oh, this is so cool that women are supporting women in this way. I thought, wow, things have really changed.
But we cannot have nice things.
No, this is why we can't have nice things, baby, because we, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
Now, within all of the mess, there are women supporting women, but it is very, people are getting deeply, deeply hurt. The thing is that we shouldn't be here. We have enough to deal with men.
Yeah. Right? I mean, God knows we're problematic. So why would you, you know, score some own goals?
But we can't, we're not, it's not there. There's too much internalized misogyny. There's too much internalized sexism. And
we can't catch a break. We're bad, and when women are bad, it's because we're bad.
No. Well, it's because it's a system that we've grown up in, and it's what we've internalized. So there it is. Hate to have such a kind of a bummer of an ending. So, all right, Mark. Well, thank you very much for a scintillating conversation.
I mean, that's my job.
All right. So, Mark, we have a bunch of social media. We'd love to have people join in.
Crap tons of social media.
Really, the best place is either to find us on Twitter. I'm at Serious Produce. Mark is
at Mark Eats Peach.
And then we have also nothing. It's just that that name really cracks me up. And then
you don't like T.S. Eliot?
I know, Mark, but you know.
Yeah, I do.
And
know.
Then.
Please. Of course I know.
Of course you know, but it's very embarrassing.
You're welcome.
And then we have our Facebook group. And I think that Gen Extemporaneous on Facebook.
Yes.
And that is pretty lively. And we welcome you to start topics in there. Everyone, absolutely. If you have some thoughts that you'd like to share about this topic or any of the other things that we've visited, come and chat with us on Facebook where we can have a little bit longer form conversation. If you have any suggestions about things that you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know and we will work them into our schedule.
Unless they're crazy.
No. All right, everyone. Well, thank you very much for coming and listening to us each week. We really appreciate it. And if you like us, please share us with a friend.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.
Bye.
Wow.
I have in the past when I was on a sensitive, I was on a forum for a sensitive subject. And then
cannibalism.
I felt. No. No. What? No. God damn it. Here we are back to cannibalism again.
That is a recurring theme.
Oh, I hate that theme. Everybody hates that theme. Well,
That, but then you have a fake account out there endorsing cannibalism.
No, so. I do not endorse cannibalism, Mark. That's not what that was for. Anyway.
Whatever.
Anyway,
my imagination ran wild.
I did have one. Private.
Can you
private
tell us
account.
What it is?
I can't because it's a sensitive subject.
Is it still going?
No.
But
no.
Somebody could Google it or something.
Somebody might be able to find it if they Googled it in an archive. I don't even think that forum still exists. But anyway, so I did have an alt for that. But
girl, do you know how the internet works? It still exists somewhere.
Well, I know it exists in someone's. It's living rent free.
Well, did you know that? I mean, there's
brain.
Like an actual thing called the Wayback Machine.
I'll be making use of that.
Yes.
Believe me.